Among the 14 questions concerning with Satipatthana, Saraji answered the first question, what is Satipatthana, yesterday. Satipatthana is outstandingly, closely established mindfulness on the object. And the answer to the first question is not finished yet. Saraji will continue to explain from theory and practice today. Patthaditi patthana, meaning that because it is closely established, it is called patthana. And sati means mindfulness. Where should the mindfulness be sticking or closely established on the object? Among the four fields of objects, kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, one's noting mind should be closely established on the object that is arising at the present moment. And it is described patthati, upatthati, patthana. So in the word upatthati, upa means close or sticking onto. And tati means established. So upatthana means closely established on the object. And pa here means upa. It means very close. As soon as the object arises, one should follow the object very closely, sticking the noting mind onto the object so that the noting mind will be firmly established on the object. The mindfulness should be firmly established, closely established on the object, one time, two times, many times on the object. As soon as the object arises, one should follow very closely. For example, when noting rising and falling of the abdomen, when rising of the abdomen takes place, one should be mindful from the very beginning of the rising all the way through until rising finishes. And one should follow with mindfulness from the very beginning all the way through until the end of rising. And Saraji explains how the noting mind should stick to the object, how the noting mind should be very close to the object. If the two items are apart, one, when you put two of these items together, sticking onto each other in a way that two becomes one, in the same way, just as when you put two pieces of items together into one, in the same way, when the object arises, the noting mind and the object should stick together as if they are one. So in this way, the noting mind and the object should be homogeneous, sticking to each other as if they are one, and they should be closely sticking onto each other. The noting mind should be closely sticking onto the object. And one should follow the object very closely. And when falling of the abdomen arises, one should be mindful from the very beginning of falling all the way through until falling finishes. And one should follow closely, and it is called patthana. And it means that one should follow the object closely. One should not just follow the object from a distance. Saraji explains how one should follow the object. When noting rising and falling of the abdomen, one should follow the object from the very beginning all the way through till the end. When noting rising of the abdomen, one should follow from the very beginning of rising all the way through until the end of rising. And some of the yogis are mistaken. They misunderstand that they should be looking for the beginning of the rising, middle of the rising, and falling of the end of the rising. So in this way, they are looking for beginning, middle, and the end of rising. So it is not the instruction. The instruction is not to look for beginning, middle, or the end. One should follow the whole rising of the object. In the rising, there is stiffness, tension, movement, and one should follow it very closely. One should follow the rising of the abdomen, falling of the abdomen. And by being mindful of the rising, the beginning, middle, or the end will become obvious itself. So before the beginning, middle, or the end become obvious itself, yogi should not deliberately look for beginning, middle, and the end of rising, falling. If they are looking for beginning, middle, or the end of rising, falling, they are wasting their time. And Saraji doesn't know which meditation teacher has been instructing them to look for beginning, middle, and the end of rising, falling. And in the US, there are many yogis who have misunderstood the instruction, and they are looking for the beginning, middle, and the end of rising. So when an object arises, there is the arising of the object, the presence of the object, and the dissolution or the passing away of the object. In Pali, it is called upada. Upada is the arising, titi, the presence, and bhanga, the passing away or the dissolution. In other words, adi is the beginning, majja, the middle, pariyosana, the end. So these are the manner of these beginning, middle, or the end, or the arising, presence, and the passing away. So when noting rising of the abdomen, from what to what should the yogi be mindful of? Yogi should be mindful of the very beginning of the rising all the way through rising finishes. So it shows the field of mindfulness. So it's saying that one should be mindful from the very beginning of rising all the way through till the end of rising. It shows the field where the mindfulness should be. It shows the scope of where the mindfulness should be. It should be from the very beginning all the way through until the end of rising. So it doesn't mean that yogi should be following the beginning, middle, and the end, or yogi, it doesn't mean that yogi should be looking for the beginning, middle, or the end of the object. So also in the falling, one should be mindful from the very start of falling all the way through until falling finishes. So it shows the patthana, the quality of patthana. And also during the walking meditation, one should focus one's mind on the foot, and in noting lifting, one should be mindful from the very beginning of lifting all the way through until lifting finishes. And when noting moving, one should be mindful from the very beginning of moving all the way through until moving finishes. And when placing the foot, one should be mindful from the very beginning of placing all the way through until placing finishes. So in this way, one should be mindful of the whole lifting, the whole moving, and the whole placing. And one should follow very closely so that the mind will not go elsewhere, but the mind will fall calm, collected on the lifting, moving, and placing. So in the beginning, one will not know the nature or the characteristic yet. When noting rising of the abdomen, at times one might just experience the form or shape of the abdomen, or at times one might just be aware of the manner of rising. It's okay as long as the mind does not run elsewhere. In the walking meditation, when noting lifting, moving, placing, in the beginning, one might just be aware of the form or shape of the foot or the manner of lifting, moving, and placing. It is okay as long as the mind does not go elsewhere. In the beginning of the practice, yogi does not discern the nature or characteristic yet. But as long as the mind falls calm, collected on the object, the mind will be pure, clean. And as the mindfulness and concentration is cultivated, one's noting mind will fall beyond form or shape concept or the manner concept and will discern the true nature, the true characteristics. So for those yogis who have been mistaken looking for the beginning, middle, or if the yogi is mistaken looking for the beginning, middle, and the end of rising, falling, they should start changing their way of practice. So if they keep on looking for the beginning, middle, and the end of rising, falling, they are wasting time uselessly. And the other bodily actions, the general activities such as standing, turning, bending, stretching, bending, swinging, all of these are to be noted. So one should note the primary object, and by being mindful of the primary object later on, one will also be able to note other secondary objects as well. And in the Satipatthana Uddesa, it is explained that being mindful of the bodily action at the moment it arises, making a mental note, noting it with a mental labeling continuously, closely, is called anupassana. And noting these bodily activities is kaya nupassana. Anupassana is also defined as kammatthana by the commentaries. observing, noting every bodily action such as rising and falling of the abdomen with sustained mindfulness is called kamma. Kamma is the work, the mental work, the mental training, or the strengthening of the mind. So the observing the bodily actions such as rising and falling closely, it is the cause. And visesa digamasa, meaning that it is the cause to attain the super mundane knowledge. So the practice involves the three trainings, sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. There are the mental strength involved, sadha, viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya, faith and confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. There are the bojanga, the factors of enlightenment involved, and the four satya are involved. And visesa means the special attainment. And if one does not practice, one will not get these special attainments. So the kamma, which is the work or the practice, observing the bodily actions such as rising and falling of the abdomen with sustained mindfulness very closely, it is the cause to have the special attainments. That's why it is called kammatthana. Kamma means the work, the practice, the noting of rising, falling, being mindful, observing rising, falling with sustained mindfulness is kamma. And thana means the cause, meaning that the noting of the rising, falling, and so on is the cause to attain the special attainment or the super mundane knowledge. So when the object arises, one should be mindful with sustained mindfulness, and it is the work or it is the practice which is called kamma. And thana means cause, the cause that lead to the special attainment. So in this way, kammatthana, meaning that by being mindful of every bodily action, leads to the special attainment. When noting, observing closely with the object, in the beginning, it is necessary to note it with the labeling. So it doesn't mean that one has to note it by saying it verbally, but it means that one should be noting the object by mental labeling in order to differentiate from one object to another. But later in the practice, one will automatically discern the nature characteristics of the object without labeling, and labeling will automatically fall away. The example is given here. When a child starts to go to school, the child has to start with learning of the alphabet A, B, C, D. They have to pronounce the word, pronounce the alphabet, and after they've learned the alphabet with the pronunciation, they start to spell the two alphabet words, three alphabet words, such as C-A-T, cat, and so on. And they have to practice spelling, reading out loud. And as they become skillful in the reading, Their reading skill gets better and they can read faster. First, they have to spell out the alphabet in order to read the word, but as their reading skill become better, they don't need to spell out that they don't need to spell out but read it right away. And later on, when they become skillful, more skillful in the reading, they can just read by scanning it with the mind. Just by mental scanning, they can read it when they become very skillful. So in the same way, in the beginning of the practice, it is important or it is necessary to note the object with the labeling. But some of the yogis are giving excuses that they are giving excuses. Is it really necessary to note it with labeling? Labeling is getting in the way. If I put labeling, then I cannot penetrate to the real object. So this is how they give excuse. In the text, also, it is explained that one should note the object in the beginning of the practice by labeling. It is called Tajja Panyati, the name concept, such as when rising of the abdomen takes place, one should note it, labeling it as rising. When falling takes place, one should note the falling of the abdomen by labeling as falling. And the same goes with the bending, stretching, lifting, moving, placing. So the name is the concept, and one should note the object with the label in the beginning of the practice. Some of them say that practicing is to discern the sabhava, that characteristics, to discern the paramattha, the ultimate reality. And naming, labeling, the name is the concept. So why is labeling is necessary to discern the characteristics and the ultimate reality? Why are these labeling getting in the way? In the beginning, one should not be noting the object without label. In the beginning, one should note these objects with the label. But later on in the practice, when the mindfulness concentration becomes strengthened, when the knowledge becomes strengthened, one discerns fast that one automatically goes beyond the concept and one discerns the characteristic, the ultimate realities. So when the knowledge becomes strengthened, one's mind automatically falls onto the true characteristic, the ultimate reality. And at that stage, labeling automatically fall away. And at that stage, the word anupassana or kamatana become even more meaningful. Noting the object without missing, without failing, is the cause to attain the special attainment. And one will understand these meaning of the words through his or her practice, and the person builds up more faith and confidence. In order to note following every arising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, with sustained mindfulness every single second, in order to do so, there are the mental strength that are necessary in the noting. And faith and confidence is very important. So one should have faith and confidence in the practice, and one should have faith and confidence in the benefits of Satipatthana practice. So one should know the benefits of Satipatthana practice, and one should have faith and confidence that this Satipatthana practice is not something that is insignificant. And the benefits of Satipatthana meditation is very essential. It is not something that is small. So one should have faith and confidence, and one should have the strong desire to gain these benefits, and one should practice diligently in order to get these benefits. So there are the defilements such as raga, lust. There are extreme form of craving, lust. There are the anger, hatred, aversion, grudge, cruelty. So these defilements are ordinary. They are ordinary defilements and extreme defilements. The ordinary form of these mental pollutants, they are just defilements. And the extreme form of defilements are called visama, and they are very bad. Through the practice of Satipatthana, one purifies one's mind. Satipatthana meditation is one and only sure way to purify the mind. So one should know the fact that Satipatthana meditation is one and only sure way to purify the mind. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, the mind will be totally pure and clean. And when the mind becomes totally purified, one becomes an arahat by eradicating all the defilements. So all the Buddhas have followed the Satipatthana path. All the arahats also have followed this Satipatthana path. So by eradicating all the defilements through the practice of Satipatthana, one can become an arahat. So one becomes an arahat only after attaining anagami. Anagami is also attained only after becoming a Sakadagami. Sakadagami is also attained after attaining the Sotapanna. So when it is said that Satipatthana practice can lead the person to be totally purified, becoming an arahat, it also means that one is sure to become Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami also. So nowadays, when one has the opportunity to learn the correct method of practice from a meditation teacher, one should follow accurately the guidance and instruction. And by practicing according to the guidance and instruction, following the guidance and instruction accurately, Saraji can guarantee that one can become a Sotapanna. So Buddha taught the benefits of Satipatthana practice so that people will have faith and confidence in the practice, which will lead them to practice diligently in order to gain these benefits. And Buddha also said that by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can overcome sorrow and lamentation. And by practicing accordingly, one will understand through his or her practice that the benefits that have been mentioned are really true. In the US, there is one writer, Dale Carnegie, who wrote How to Overcome Sorrow, How to Overcome Grief. So he had wrote many ways to overcome it. But one does not need to do so many things, but one should just practice Satipatthana meditation in order to overcome grief and sorrow. What Dale Carnegie wrote is not sure to overcome grief and sorrow. One cannot uproot the grief and sorrow according to how Dale Carnegie wrote. But Satipatthana practice is what Buddha found out himself. Buddha himself. So by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can totally overcome grief and sorrow by uprooting it. So it is the sure way. In countries where the technology is much advanced, where the standard of living is high, there are many social problems, such as marriage problem, business problem, health problem. And based on these problems, people have tension, stress, depression, and they do not find the solution. Even if they have solution, their solution will just relieve the problem just for a while, but one cannot uproot these problems. And there is grief, sorrow, tension, stress, depression, and caused by these marriage problem, business problem, and so on. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, these problems will be solved. So if the family practice Satipatthana meditation, that family will have solved the social problems. And if more and more people in the society practice Satipatthana meditation, the society can solve the social problems through the Satipatthana practice. And thus, if they are solving their problems through the practice of Satipatthana, they will be worry-free, grief-free, and their life will be pleasant, free from the social problems. So Satipatthana can create a very pleasant society. Satipatthana can create a very pleasant world so that each and every family, each every society, each every relatives, or each every nation will become peaceful and pleasant. And this is the true way, the sure way to gain peace in the world. So an hour is up today. Saraji will continue tomorrow. And Saraji has in mind to give talk for 1.5 hours from tomorrow. And Saraji would like to give the talk for 1.5 hours so that yogis will understand the Satipatthana practice clearly. So he would like to ask the question to the yogis, can you sit for 1.5 hours to listen to the Dhamma talk?
The Bodhu Bala.
Do you agree? The Bodhu Bala, yeah.
The Bodhu Bala. The Bodhu Bala. The Bodhu Bala.
So please raise your hand if you agree.
Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.